You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. So today's Daf and Daf Yomi is Daf Kuf Chav Gimel. We're holding on Kuf Chav Beis Amid Beis at the two dots. So the next case we had in the Mishnah was that in any case of these semi-skins that had a din of basar that actually were tanned, then they would lose a din of basar and they would become the regular skin, which is not makabel, not matame. And the same thing would be true, oh, hilech. So what is exactly tanning is done with chemicals, with salt. It says in the Mishnah that dafka hilech. Hilech in lo, hilech lo. You're claiming that only if you actually did something, in other words, you need an actual maisa, which is going to change it to be considered or. But if you hadn't, and what you do with it to use it to indicate that it's or is insufficient to give it a din of or so that it should lose its shame boss or to be matame. Is that true? Votani Rabbi Chia. Did not Rabbi Chia learn in a braita that ozen chamor shetela ala kupato? See, a guy has a hole in his backpack and he sews on a donkey ear in the hole to seal it. So now he's got a patched backpack. But he didn't do anything to the ear to turn it into skin. Nonetheless, it's considered to be tohora, which means tala'a, that you use it as a patch. Afagav, delo hilech. Apparently you don't require hilech. All you need to do is a lush to do something which is sufficient to indicate. So you see that once it's been turned into a concept of or it's bottle. So we should say the moment that I took this skin and I started to do hilo with it, but I didn't actually do anything with it. I laid it down, or usually the way you do hilo would be to actually tie it around your leg. And then the part that you're being ma'abed, you would walk on, whatever, while you're doing your stuff, and then move it over and then walk on the next part. So that shouldn't be necessary. I should just need to tie it on the same way that I tie it on to my backpack should be sufficient. Says the Gemara, no, actually, I mean, there'd be two different things. You could do either tala'ah, I forgot the lo hilech, but if lo tala'ah, hilechin lo hilech lo, it depends. If you do a maisa to be mavato, so then in a chinami, that maisa would be enough. If you don't do a maisa to be mavato, then you would need actual hilech, because tala'ah makes it mamish part of a kli, in which case it's no longer a piece of meat, obviously. When you say kidei ibud kama, kidei ibud, what is considered to be the amount of walking that you would have to do to call this skin tanned? Omer avun, omer av yanai, this shear is arbaat milin. So as you tie something around your foot, and you walk on it for the equivalent for 4 mil. You keep your little pedometer on so you can see how much you've walked today. And then you're doing your job while you're having fun and getting into shape. And indeed, Rabbi Avohu Omar Reish Lakish Legabel Letfila Letilat Yadayim Arbaat Mili. We have the same shear when it comes to the shear of Gibel. Gibel, there's a big machlokas. What Gibel means is you're making a dough. So usually there's a professional, people would bring their flour to the guy and he would come out with a finished dough and he would do the Gibel. Obviously nowadays we have our professionals in our home in the form of machines. Nice good strong machine.
Gibel is needed.
But in those days, yeah, you gave it to a strong guy and that was his business and he did the Gibel. Like we do for the matzahs, you have the magav, fine. Well, what is the shear there for Gibel? Now, there's a question, what does that mean? So Rashi learns that what it means is that if you had accepted upon yourself a price to do gibul dafke b'tahara, which means that you would have to make certain that you got into a mikveh before you would do this thing, or get your kelim into a mikveh. So in order to be yotze the hitchayvut for the badatz hechsher that this was done b'taharat kelim and so on, you would have to get to a mikveh. Now the question is, how much is included in the price? How far away could that mikveh be? So if somebody is traveling, and ahead of him there's a mikveh, a 4-mil distance, he can't charge extra for going 4 mil. But beyond that, he could. And he could say, I can't do the job for the price agreed. If it's Litvia, that's how Rashi learns. There's many other approaches in this, which is literally how much you mechuyif to be megava. Or there's even a shita that gibel has to do with chomet pesach. What is the amount of time that if you're being megava, it would turn into chomet? That's 4 miling, as long as you're working on it. Okay, tefillah, also, machlok is what that means. Rashi learns, and he doesn't explain why. Rashi says over here, if there's a Beit HaKnesset ahead of you, you're traveling, and you'd like to pull into a motel. But if you pull into this motel, there's not going to be a shul nearby. If you travel another 4 miles, actually a mil is really not a modern mile, it's not an English mile, it's the equivalent of a kilometer, really, almost exactly. So if you go ahead and you would travel another 4 mil, you would get to a Beit Knesset. If it's in the direction of your travel, then you have to go that additional 4 mil, even if it's inconvenient. The question is it that a din in a Beit Knesset? Many learn that it's only where there's going to be a minyan, not a din specifically in a mokum that was royal at tefillah, but that the issue over here is in order to get to a minyan of Asara. Now the question that raises is, if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch paskins this halacha, and yet when it comes to the din of tefillah b'tzibur, he says yishtadel adam litvalel v'asara. If it's talking over here, you mechuyev to go ad arba'at milin, then that's not called yishtadel, and it's telling you that there's a chiyev to go up to 4 mil to get to a minyan. Now this is a big issue. It's actually a tshuva of Ramesha, who uses the halacha, because many of the Rishonim bring a raya from here, that there's an actual chiyev to be mitpalel ba'asara, except that you can't call it an absolute chiyev because of the fact that we're being makel on you. If you're not going in the same direction, then you don't have to go arba'at milin, you only have to go ad mil. So that means that you can't call it a chiyav gomor. If it's a chiyav gomor, why would we be makel on you that it's only a chiyav ad mil? But anyway, some of the Rishonim actually bring the loshon that from here it's a teichocha to people who are in their homes and are not matriach to go to a minyan. If you're chiyav to go ad arba'at milin, so it means more than it's a stam ishtadlut be'alma. And Ramesh actually brings that in his tshuva from this sugya, that since you see that there's a tefillah arba milin, it's got to be more than just ishtadlut be'alma. It means that there is an actual reason to go. Omer Nachum bar Yitzchak. First of all, you got it wrong. You quoted, it was Rabbi Avahu who said this over. Wasn't Rabbi Avohu. It was Ivo. And Ivo was misheard by somebody, and he thought it was Avo. It was not Rabbi Avo. Secondly, you've got it wrong because he didn't say three things. He said four things that were Arba Mili. The Arba'a Amriba. And one of them was the sugya that we just had. The sugya that we just had was, what is the shir of Gibu? And that is kedei shiur of Aveda shiur of Aveda Sa'or, kedei hiloch. What's kedei hiloch? Arba mil. And so this would be a smach to the pirish that we just said in the Mishnah. On Rabbi Yezib Rab Chanina, this halacha of 4 mil is only where you are in your car and you're driving anyway in that direction. Actually, you could even be walking in that direction. So lo shenu ela lefanav. There's even some who want a taina that it's a shear in time. And if you're in your car, it's got to be more. Lo shenu ela lefanav. It's only if you're going in that direction anyway. But to go out of your way, la chorav, or you're in your home, and you have to go out of your home in order to get to the minyan, and so on. So that would be afilu mil echad. You don't have to be chazer. Says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, okay, but from there, umina, milu deino chazer. You don't have to go out of your way for a full kilometer. But anything less than that, a pachot mi mil, you would have to be chazer. Tana Rabbanan, speaking of the din of tumat ha'or, Ligion ha'over mimakom lemakom. V'nichnas labayit ha'bayit ha'minav. These Romans that are going around from one place to the other, Any place that they walked into has to be assumed to be tameh. Why? Because in the Hakol Ligayon Veligayon, these guys are basically wild Indians, and they walk around with scalps. She'ein lo kama karkaplin. You'll never find a legion that doesn't have a collection, a scalping collection. The alta tamay, that seems to you to be insane. You know something? If it were insane, you really believe that Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, they would have taken his scalp and made it an issue. Barosh Melachim. And we find elsewhere in the Avodah Zarah, we find that they actually made a holiday once a year where they would talk about this, put it on the Melech, on Caesar. So if that's the case, these guys are barbarians. So they're barbarians, so it means that, you think the local soldiers aren't barbarians. Only the Melechim are barbarians. You think that all of them don't go to the circus to watch people getting killed. They all go, and it's a good, so if that's the case, then they'll scalp Jewish scalps. And it'll be the time of the bite. I just said Jewish cops. Did you hear the word?
That's, yeah, but in the very beginning, how do you know?
Because that's where that's what it's talking about. Varnell would be proud. If they're here, that's people they're after, no? Okay, let's go on to the Halakha Mishnah. We've got Richie with us today.
Hi. Look, the Halakha Mishnah.
Sounds like a Finnish. Hamafshit, somebody now is coming to skin. We've been talking about what the din is of the skin itself. But what about the question of the actual act of skinning? To what point is the or considered to also be a yad or a shomer? We know if it's actually attached to basar, any basar connected to the or is going to be able to convey tumah through or get tumah from the sherma that's connected, but also it doesn't have to be connected though, because there's also a certain amount of the or that is acting as a yad. Remember, the yad is also mitame and mitame, even though it's not mitzaref. So we talked earlier about the shomer. Let's talk now about the yad. Now, clearly, when somebody is skinning, he needs to have a sufficient amount of skin to be able to hold tightly on and to pull. Now, there are different things that you're skinning for. If you're skinning to make, let's say, a tablecloth or to make a rug, so in that case, what you will do is you will make a slit straight down the animal and pull the skin off so that it comes off as a straight piece. But remember that in those days, one of the favorite uses of skinning was to make a leather bottle or to make a large container. In order to do that, you don't want to slit it down the middle, obviously. What you'd like to do is have the skin hold so that it's watertight, and then just close up the areas that you cut off, the arms and the legs and so on. So then you would actually pull down, either from the neck down, which is much more difficult than just pulling off a shatiyah, or from the leg down. Of course, they would flay the animal holding it upside down, or it would be hanging on a butcher hook. So let's see, you're being mafshit. Whether you're talking about a behemo or a chaya, whether you're talking about a min Torah or a min tmeya, which is fascinating, because if you're talking about a min tmeya, you're talking about a nevela. So that's going to already raise the issue of whether dealing here with tumah d'oraita. I'm talking about the siyad, which we'll see later on in the sugya. Whether this animal is a small animal, say it's a sheep, or whether it's a large animal, a gasa. So if you're dealing with this skin to use it as a flat piece, l'shatiach, that it should be spread out flat, then the amount of skin that is considered to be a yad is kidei achiza. And we'll see kidei achiza, the amount that you need to hold and to pull is a double size tefach. So two tefachim, really. You would fold it over and pull. Now, if you're talking about chemat, if you're talking about making it into a leather container, then every last bit of skin that came out is necessary. Achi yafshit et hachazeh. So in other words, as long as you have kidei achiza, that is going to be sufficient to, for all intents and purposes, if you touch the meat itself. Because since it's a yad, if the behema is an avela, it will be metame you. If the behema is tahor, and you are tame, you'll be metame the basar.
If, however, you've gone beyond the shear of Kedei Achisa, then that piece that's beyond, and we'll see maybe every piece, but we'll talk about that in a moment, is no longer considered to be a yad, and therefore, unless you touch the actual novella, as we saw before, benivlata v'lo ba'ora. So if it isn't considered to be a yad, it's not going to be metameyu. And vice versa. So now, suppose you were pulling the skin off straight, and you didn't make a slit on it, so then it would be considered to be all necessary for you to be able to hold on. So you get to the point, and here we're talking about where you're starting at the neck. It's all considered to be the equivalent of touching the meat itself, because since it's very difficult to pull the skin off of the chazeh, you're going to be using every last bit until you get it across, pulled down beyond the thickest part of the animal. Remember that skin is quite elastic so that it closes up. In other words, you need to really pull hard, not only because of the connectedness, but because to get it off of the area where the animal is widest requires a lot of pressure. If you're starting at the legs, that's even worse. That's called hamargil, where you want to do the least possible damage to the skin. You start at the legs. Over there, you're going to need everything until you actually get it off completely. Now, we're going to see that everything might not mean literally everything, but what it means is you get it past the actual body up to the neck, which is down at the bottom now because it's hanging upside down. So then it's all a chibur. When we say it's a chibur, we mean it's a chibur for tuma, whether litame, to bring tuma into it, or litame, it could be mitame, the person who would be holding it. How about if you're doing this and you get up to the or she'al hatzavar? Once you've gotten past the area where the or is connected tightly, obviously around the neck, it's very loosely connected because necks always hang down. That's, the double chin phenomenon. Necks are loose to enable you to twist, and the skin just twists along. So over there, you don't really need much of a kedei achiza. So the or on the tzavar, once you've pulled off everything else, actually is going to fall off itself if it's hanging down loose. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, okay, so that's not called a chibur anymore because you don't need it for a yad at all. Whereas the Chachomim say it's still considered to be a chibur. Ad sheyafshit et kulo. When we said kulo, we meant kulo. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, when we said kulo chibur latuma, we didn't mean literally kulo. We meant ad sheyagia letzavah. Okay, but let me ask you something. Once you're past, it's like the opening of the Mishnah. It says you need kedei achiza. Now I peeked ahead, so we know that we're talking about over here a tefach kafur. But how about once you get past that state? What happens? Does the area of the tefach kafur keep moving closer and closer to the basar? Is that all that happens? Does the whole thing become tahar? What happens after that stage? Because realize that the truth is, in logistical terms, there are different stages when it comes to the skinning. Imagine that you're doing for a shatiyah. You need to start somewhere, obviously, and that first part is very difficult. So up until two tvachim, you're holding on to whatever you can in order to pull, and it's hard. Once you start pulling, and you've got that much cleared, at that point, you don't want to keep pulling. You'd rather use a knife. It's going to make things a lot easier. Because now you've got a good beginning. I mean, you can't start with a knife where you don't even have any skin that's pulled off. But if you're holding a skin, you're holding a piece of skin, now you start using the knife between the skin and the meat. So you use the knife, and now the next piece comes off, and so on. What's more is that after you've got a healthy piece of skin with your knife off, now it's heavy. Once it's heavy, the skin weighs a lot. Once it's heavy, it's easier to just hold on to it and pull again because you've got enough that's been loosened, and it's not going to tear at this point, and it's not going to be difficult to pull at this point. So there's really three different stages. We're going to have to take that into consideration. So what would be the din? Become the elah. Omar Rav, Tahar HaMufshat. From this point on, the entire thing that you had pulled off, up until the place where it's connected to the basar, is considered to be not a yad any longer. So you don't need this. And from the point on to where it's mechuber to the basar, it's tamei, but it's not tamei because of a yad. It's tamei because, as we know, the skin is a shomer to any basar that's underneath it. So that would be the halacha. Whereas Rav Asi says, well, I mean, it's tahar, yes, but there is a point of the tefach, which is somuch lebasar, that would still remain to be tamei, because there you're always going to view that as a beit yad, and you're going to want to, even if you're holding on and you're using your knife, you hold on to the area that's closest to where the knife is, meaning closest to where the skin is connected to the flesh, to pull on it and to put your knife in between. That's a natural reaction in the world. Rav holds that that's not called a beit yad, holds because you're not going to be able to use that or want to use that to pick up anything. And a yad, for the convenience of pulling, is not called a yad to the basar. In order for it to be a yad to the basar, it has to be something that you would pick up the basar with. Once you're at this stage, you're not going to pick up. You don't want to move this anywhere. You're in the middle of doing something. Mamela doesn't function as a yad at all, says Rav. Meitzvah. Hamavshit kishiur hazeh. Somebody who's taken off this amount, which is the kidei achiza, which we're going to see is the tefach kaful, the din is that mikan ve'elech hanogea b'mufshat tahor. Now that's exactly what Rav said. Anything that you touch after that is not considered to be a yad. If the nevela, assuming it was a nevela, it won't be metame you for touching the mufshat. And that means the mufshat. I mean, as far as mufshat means the entire mufshat. I assume that that includes my lava filu v'tevach ha-samuch l'basar, which would mean that Rav is correct, and that Rav Asi, who claims that you need still the tevach samuch l'basar, and therefore would have a shame of yad, that part would be metame. So here he's wrong. No, Rav Asi will say what it means is that anything that isn't right up against the basar, meaning the first tevach or levad, mitevach ha-samuch l'basar. Okay, Toshma, let's see if we can get the weight of evidence against Rav Asi. So let's take a look at this brayta. Be'or shekeneged habasar tamei. Let's look at the other side. The or which is right up against the basar is tamei. Now that sounds like what Rav was saying. If it's keneged habasar, it's tamei because of shomer. But if it's no longer keneged habasar and it's the skin that you're pulling up off of the basar, even if it's the tefach somach labasar, that's not going to act as a yad. And it's obviously not a shomer because it's no longer attached. So apparently, once again, Rav is correct because it's or shere keneged habasar tamei, which is what Rav agreed to. And the tefach ha-samach labasar is tahor, which is what Rav said against the opinion of Rav Asi. Not necessarily. Rav Asi will say that this Tana is referring to kol tefach ha-samach labasar, is what he means when he says or shekeneged habasar. He's not talking about a shomer, which means it's attached to the basar. He means it's the part that is still falling in towards the basar that you have to pull out in order to put your knife in. That's what he means by next to the basar, somuch lebasar. That he calls keneged habasar because it still flaps back down the skin and has to be pulled up in order for you to put your knife in. So that too is not an absolute right. Okay, the evidence is building, but we can't prove anything. Tashma. Hamavshit bideimo v'chayana. This is similar to our Mishnah, but it expands on it. Somebody's being mavshit bideimo v'chaya, whether it's Torah or Tmeya, daka, gasa, lishatiach, v'shiris kideachiza. Uh-oh. V'tefach ha-samuch l'basar tahor. Wow. Here it says beferish. Even the tefach ha-samuch l'basar, meaning after that amount, this is literally a brayta that seems to be saying word for word what Rav said, right? Tefach ha-samuch l'basar is tahor. No, you misunderstand. Tefach ha-samuch l'basar is referring to the tefach rishon. That's the pshat. In other words, we started off with two tefachim. You went beyond that. So you should know that even the tefach, which is closer to the tzad of the basar, so you might think you'd still want to hold on to that, maybe not all the way to the edge, because I've got so much now, right? Even the tefach, which is somuch labasar, meaning of the first part, not the part that's literally somuch labasar, the part that's closer to the basar, that's also not necessary, and that is considered to be, which is true, even according to Rav Asi. which is Samak Labasa. Okay. The Braita said, what do we mean by Kedei Achiz? So Tana, Kama Kedei Achiza, Tefach. Tanya Tvachayim. There's another Braita that says specifically that it's two Tvachim. Omer Abaye, Tefach meant Tefach Kafu, a double Tefach, which sometimes, says Rashi, is the use of the word Tefach. And over here it makes sense to call it a Tefach, because the truth is, what is the natural tendency for Kedei Achiza? Not that you hold on the tip of something. You bend over the edge and you pull. So you bend over the edge that you have a thicker piece to pull. The part, the grip that you have is a tefach, but it's a tefach that goes in both directions. So the actual amount of skin that you've pulled off is a tefach kaful. And therefore, both braitot make perfectly good sense. And in fact, Tanya Amiyochid is a braita that clarifies that when we use the word tefach, we meant a tefach kaful. Tanya Amiyochid, kamba kidei achiza, tefach kaful. Now, we have similar issues in Kelim that don't deal with Yad, but that deal with the question of whether we should be makpid on very clear-cut shiurim when it comes to Tumah or the bittul of the Shem Tumah. So let's take a look at the Mishnah in Kelim, where we're talking about, you've got a talit. Of course, a talit doesn't mean literally a talit with tzitzit on it. A talit simply means the outer covering that a person is wearing. So you get a talit and you wanted to make it tahar. So there, the moment that you start to tear it, now halacha is that once you've torn rove of a beged, just like any other kli, if you destroy the kli as it is by breaking it, so then it loses its tumah. Here too, the moment you get to rove, and you've cut through most of this talit, shuv eno chibur, and not only that, it's tahar. So you destroy the talit, and the parts are no longer considered to be connected to each other to bring tumah from one to the other. Because let's consider what's happened here. Initially, let's say you have a kli that's made out of cheres. Okay, the only way to make this kli tahar is to break it. Now you've broken it into pieces. Those pieces, shards, may still be usable for something else. But of course, since you would have to be mechashev on it to use it for something else, it will require a new tuma once you're using it for something else. You broke a lamp. Now you've got a little piece. You can use this piece for a dipping tray for your salad. Okay, if you're meyachid it for that. Now this piece could be mekabel tuma again. Yes, but it's not going to be tameh because of its original tumah. Okay. Same thing is true now of this talit. Anything which is 3x3 is considered to be roi for a beged. It's the size of a handkerchief. And therefore, if you're going to use it for something, it could be mekabel tumah. But it's not going to retain the same tumah that it had when it was your raincoat. So at this point, it lost the tumah of the talit raincoat. Now we'd have to wonder, but it's still connected at the edge. You only cut through rove. So if I touch one piece, would the other piece also be mekabel tumah now? Shloisha al shloisha? No. Because it's neither a chibur and it's considered to be tahar. Omrib nachon omrib rabba barabu, huh? We have to wonder about these things because there are gezerot that need to be taken into consideration. I mean, after all, the shear of rove is extremely tight, isn't it? So there's a rove, then there's a rove anira le'inayim. I mean, there's a very obvious rove where you cut 3/4 of it. Here you say rove, it's mashma, you take a ruler and you've got 1 millimeter more that's cut. I mean, that last millimeter is not very evident. It even looks like it's still mechubar. So let me tell you something, says Reb Nachman. It's only where the talit that you're cutting, which became tameh, actually had already been put into a mikvah. Now, when you put your beautiful woolen coat into a mikvah, it's never going to look the same, I guarantee you. I mean, basically, you wrecked it. No longer is it going to look like a new coat. Once you're willing to do that, then we believe that you're willing to tear it. But if you're tearing a talit in order to avoid putting it into the mikvah, we get the idea that you're trying to avoid ruining it. If you're trying to avoid ruining it, we're worried that you're going to be very careful about how much you tear. And in that case, maybe you won't tear ruba. So why would you tear it if you already put it to mikveh? Very simple. It's only going to become tahor by tonight because you have to wait until the sun sets. You don't want to wait until the sun sets. I want my talis tahor and I want it now. You know, and I want it all. That's what we're afraid of. So if, Lamaisa, you were already about to fill in a mikveh, you can't say I want it all. You messed it up. There we believe you, that you're going to tear Ruba. But if you haven't already put it into the mikveh, we don't believe you anymore. So lo shana l'betali tfulas yom. If it was already put into the mikveh, and you need it suddenly to get a piece of material that was tahar earlier in the day, you can't wait till sunset, so then we believe that you're gonna tear it. Demigo de lo chasal av atpala, since you didn't care enough about this thing to keep it out of the water, so we believe that lo chayasal av akar la ruba, you are also not going to be careful and you'll cut most of it. But a talit she'inat fulat yom, if you never did a pu'ula to indicate that you are willing to mess it up, we don't let you get away with a rove. Because we're afraid you won't even do rove. So it's a gzeira dilma lo ati lemikra ruba, maybe you won't even cut rove. Oh my rabbi, I don't like this shot one bit. I have two problems with the way Reb Nachman is learning this. First of all, I think if anything, it's the other direction. If we're talking about a talit that was a tfulat yom, so what is the kind of guy who's walking around half alive? I mean, Richie sees this talit. What's he going to conclude when he sees the man wearing the talit having just put it into the mikvah? I'll tell you what he's going to decide. That you don't need Erev Shemesh is what he's going to decide. He's going to know that the real reason that it's tore is because you changed your mind and you also tore it? Well, he's going to think of such a thing. They see you putting a talit in the mikvah. And now they see you using it for Tyrus. Obviously, the mikvah made it tar. They're not going to sit there examining it to see whether you were koreat. So if anything, it should be the other way around. If it's talit tfulat yom, that's the last thing that we should allow you to be seder on a kriya v'miut. Because maybe people won't see that it was karua ruba. We have to be gezer. And furthermore, so shema yom tfulat yom is ola. Maybe if it's a tefillah, even on the same day without Erev Shemesh, would be enough for talit, people will think. That's crazy. So if anything, we should be more gozer in that case. Furthermore, if you really believe that we need to worry about people's concern about is it a rov, is it not a rov, we, the Rabbanon, are going to be concerned for whether they're going to go all the way or not. How do you explain Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon's din of Olat Ha'Of? Remember that remarkably, we have Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon's halacha, which is we partially learn out the din of Olat Ha'Of from Chatat Ha'Of, and partially don't. We learn it out from Chatat Ha'Of that you need to be mavdil. But on the other hand, it says velo yavdil. So how do we explain that? We explain that you need to cut two simanim, but you can't cut them all the way through. Very strange halacha. So in other words, you're not allowed to cut kulo, you're only allowed to cut ruba. How would you understand Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon? Shouldn't we always have to be gozer that if you're only going to cut precisely ruba, maybe you won't do ruba? Because we're always concerned, you're saying, about a shear. And therefore maybe you won't even do a kosher malika. Tosis says this is the crazy question. What kind of nutty question is this? The Torah says to be makashit techatas, and now they are not to be makashit techatas. So what are you saying? There's a gzeirata katu, if we should be geyser that the Torah doesn't know what it's talking about. What kind of weird question is this? What do you expect us to do? Therefore, Tosis understands that the question over here is not the difference between rubo and kulo. The question is between a rov mitzumtzam and a rov anir aleinai. And that the gezerah always is not that we should need to tear the whole thing into two, but that we should make it very evident that we've gone beyond any possibility of its only being a rove. That's the point. So Gemara is saying, why would Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon say rove is sufficient? He should have said we need a rove anir aleinayim, even though you're not allowed to do the whole thing, but you should do a rove anir aleinayim. Clearly, this concern of yours, Reb Nachman, is not reflected in reality. We don't make gezeiros because somebody may think it's not a rov. Ligs are dimalat yelmevet rov shnai. Amalai Rav Yosef, excuse me. Both of your times against Reb Nachman don't make sense. First of all, This business of suggesting, well, if you're going to be concerned for what people are going to say, why aren't you concerned for the fact of their saying Tefillah Bat Yuma should be enough, and you don't need Arev Shemesh. And therefore, on the contrary, you're suggesting the only time we should be Matir Kriyas Rov is when you didn't put it into a mikveh. That's what you're saying. I said it's ridiculous. Because who is going to look at a ripped talit and suggest that, oh, clearly it was only a coincidence that it's ripped. It's actually the tefillah that was matiret. I mean, you got to be really stupid to think that the guy's walking around with a talit that's half torn. I mean, obviously he tore it to be matiret. So no, why would anybody make that mistake? So the Ka'amri Gzeira Shemar Yomru, Tefillat Bat Yuma, is Eila. Can I ask you, isn't Kira Mochiach Aleha, the fact that it's torn doesn't show you clearly to anybody, even an idiot, that he was Korea to be Matiret? And your other time, the Ka'amrit Olat Ofer, Belozer Reb Shimon, Ligzar. When was the last time you heard of a Gezerah in the Beis HaMikdash? We always avoid this. Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, it's a general rule. Because Kitzin Shkanim Zri Zimein, we don't need to make these Gezerahs. We make Gezerahs for people who are walking around, not thinking about what they're doing. People that are being Eisik B'Aveda are always thinking about what they're doing. Why do we have to be Gezer? The Kohenim will be very makbid to be Melech Rav Shnayim. Okay, Tashma, let's see. Getting to our case. Hamafshit Bivei Mao V'Chaya B'Tmeyah V'Torah Bidaka ubegasa, lishatiach kedeachiza, and only kedeachiza, a tefachkov. Okay. The moment that you go beyond the shir of achiza, the whole thing we said becomes tar. Why? Why aren't we geyser? Digzar dilma lo ati lamevat ela kedeachiza? Vikanaga betuma? I mean, you got an animal that's in a vela. A guy is going to be mitzamtzeh. So he's got what he thinks is slightly more than Kedei Netila. Why aren't we chayshish that it's exactly Kedei Netila and that he became Tameh and now he's going to be Yoiver and all kinds of Yisurin? I mean, obviously our Mishnah is the clearest indication that we allow you to be Semech on Shiurim Mitzumtzamim when it comes to the Din of Tuma. Here we're being Semech on a Shir Mitzumtzam when it comes to the Din of Yad and the question of its ability to transfer out Tumat Nevelot to you, because after all, the Mishnah does say Litameh or Litameh, doesn't it? By the way, I just want you to know that there's a sheet in the Tesvis that holds the whole discussion over here is not about Yad, it's about Shemen. And that Rav never would hold that this would be a Yad. Okay, but getting back to our thing. Because if you hold that Rav agrees that it's a Yad, then you'll have to explain, well, then why isn't it a Yad with the Tefach HaSamach Lubasar? And you'll say, because he holds a Yad is only to pick up Basar. So then why is the first part considered to be Roy, to pick up Basar, if it's only there for Kedei Achiza? And you'll have to give a whole complex explanation, according as Tosfos attempts to do, which is that at the early stages, since you're going to be switching to the use of the knife, maybe you'll pick it up with the Kedei Achiza, move it to a different place for the next part of the processing, but once you've already done that, you know, I mean, it becomes a very, very dochuk to kipshat at Semech on Balabatish as far as when will you move it, when you won't move it, when are aliens chasing you, and so on. And so because of that, we actually, there are those who suggest that Yad, that Rab Bichlal wouldn't hold it to see Yad. It's only what's Nagei Shmira on the existing bus. Okay, but anyway, moving on here. So why don't we have to be Gezer that you can't rely on Kedei Achiza? We should have made it more. Kedei Achiza plus Echveis, Shnei, Ot Shnei Tvachim, whatever. Why don't we say, Ligza Dimalati Lamevad, Ela Kedei Achiza, and it is going to be Nogea Betuma, and we're going to be Matire him? Oh, says Reb Nachman, of course, we are Geyser. If we would be talking about a Tuma Dioraita, we would be Geyser. But since our Mishnah, which we're going to ask in a moment, since our Mishnah is only talking about a Tumah d'Rabbanan, therefore you're not going to make a Gezerah on a Tumah d'Rabbanan. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Ma pitom, that our Mishnah is only talking about a Tumah d'Rabbanan. Remember that the Mishnah said, this animal can be either metame you, or you could be metame it. Where's the Tumah d'Rabbanan? I mean, we're talking about, it says, b'tahora u'b'tameya. Last I heard, any animal that's tameya, if it's dead and you're skinning it, is a nevela. I don't care if you shechted it, it's a nevela, right? So what are you telling me? It's not a tumah d'oraita. Tumah nevela? of a dead horse is not an avail. What do you mean it's not? It's, the Mishnah is clearly talking about Tumah Daraita also. So Tumah is a Tumah Daraita. No, it doesn't really mean Tumah. It means a Treifa, and you shechted it, so the Shechita is actually Mat, is Matayer it. That's what it's talking about. So, if that's what it's talking about, then where is it going to be Matameh and Adam? A Treifa that was Nishkada is not Matameh at all. So either it's an Avela, in which case the Tumah is a Daraita, or it's a Treifa, in which case there is no Tumah. So what do you mean? Treifa? If it's a treifa, but how's it going to make somebody tummy? Says the Gemara, yes. As we've seen before, k'dei avua d'shmuel, yomra avua d'shmuel, treifa that you went ahead and shechted, if it's dealing with an animal that is kadesh, then it would be metame, minarabonan. So this is a tumas treifa minarabonan, and that's what the mission is referring to, says Reb Nachman. If it meant literally tumea, which would be a tumas nevela, forget about it. Of course, we would be guys yet to make the achis. Tashma, Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Hamavshit Bishratzim, Chibur Ad Yavshit Et Kulo. If you're talking about taking off, let's see, you want to make a lizard skin purse, so making a lizard over there is very difficult to get those skins off. They're very tight. They're for sure, it's Kulay. Oh, so in other words, but if you're talking about a gamal, unless I heard a gamal is a nevela, if it's dead, there's no way to avoid that. So if you are skinning a gamal, then it's not kulay. Then we're back to kidei achiza again. So don't try to tell me that, no, if it's a tumidi, right? Of course we want it to. Kidei achiza is no good. But where it's a gamal, then it's not considered to be a chibor, why not? Lo tema begomal in a chibor, that's your conclusion. That's not what it's talking about. It means that there are cases where we are normally not concerned, like the Orsha Alat Savar. Orsha Alat Savar is going to fall right off. And this would be going with the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So that's what it's saying. A lizard? Even the Orat Savar is connected tightly, which is the case. Because the whole thing is membranous and twisted. But it's not loose around the tzavar, the way it is around an animal. Memela, it's contrasting the lizard, kulay, as opposed to the mammal, which is only up to the tzavar. I'll leave it to Yochanan ben Nuri. It's not coming to talk about lizards as opposed to camels. Omri v'nei mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yosi, lo shon u'ala shalosh yerba k'dei ma'aforet. Avo shi'erba k'dei ma'aforet. That's definitely considered to be tummy anyway. If you cut your talit in such a way that it's still usable for a beged, the ma'aforet is a very expanded scarf. It's the whole, you can use it to cover your turban, and that's a nice size beged. So if there's enough that's left in the, was that?
Probably
something like a kafir. Yeah. This over there, if you were Mishayar Bakadei Ma'aforet, then it's still a chibur, because it's perfectly usable as just a smaller talit. So you can't call that something that is Mevatel Shema Talit. Furthermore, Amar Reish Lakish, this is only if it's material, a talit. If you'd be using, or you'd be using skin, let's say a leather jacket, then or is never considered to be, rubo is considered to be sufficient. Because it's definitely going to be a chibur. Because leather jackets, even the way they make leather jackets, is by sewing pieces onto each other. If you sew pieces onto each other, you're telling me that that falls apart? No. Or can be sewed very tightly as opposed to material, but it's always little pieces that pull off, and that's not considered to be a chibur, it's going to be cholim. Or is cholim, it's tight, it's strong, I mean, you make shoes out of it, it holds together for years under tremendous pressures, and therefore you can't consider that to be a permanent rip. So ornami is cholim, or is cholim. Rabbi Yochanan says, no difference. Or is also not considered to be cholim. It's torn, it's torn. Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, how can you claim that or is not considered to be cut through if we have a halacha that teaches that or, there's another mission in Kalim, or, which is tamei midras. So this skin was shaykh to tumas midras, it was big enough now to be used for something that you're going to step on. So this is 5x5, it's the largest here. And now you decided to use it for shoelaces or for sandals. They're much smaller. So the moment that you start cutting it with the ismal, it becomes tahor. I mean, according to you, what is that supposed to mean? It's cholim. Why would it become tahor? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Chachonim omrim. No, no, you have to actually cut it. Achi amitenu mechamisha tvachim. According to you, it never makes any difference. Even if you'll be memayetle mechamisha tvachim, why would that be tar? Here it's saying, according to everyone, if he's memayetle mechamisha, it's tar. Amai. Lema kolim. Why don't you say, you didn't change anything. All you need to do is take it to the sewing machine, and it's exactly what it was before. That's what you're saying, that it doesn't help to cut through skin. Why not say that it's cholim? Yeah, you haven't changed it. No, kika army de cholim echad katzori leila hadya. When we're talking about that, Rish Lakish says it's cholim. What he means is, if you make a straight line with a piece of skin on either side, and you're going to make it possible to make a seam there, that's cholim. What we're talking about over here is where you're mikatzea ubalo derech sevivota. You're cutting around the edges. You got a little piece of skin on one side, a large piece of skin on the other side. You're cutting it into shoelaces, let's say, right? That's not cholim. It's only large pieces that are meant to be seen together that's cholim. So over there, what, you have this piece that goes around, how are you going to be cholim? That's not cholim at all. The Rishonim is also mode. Motiv Rav Yirmiyah. Okay, let's get to our case. Hamafshit b'veima, b'chaya, b'torah, b'tmeya, b'takah, b'agasa. If you do it this l'shatiyach, k'dei achiza. Hayetamik le'achiza would be tahor. I mean, Rish Lakish's idea of cholim would certainly apply to a piece of skin that's there, no? I mean, the whole thing is considered to be cholim. In this case, it's mamish connected, it's all connected. So why would there be a shear beyond which we consider it to be a meaningful yad? Lema cholim. Tirgama Rabbi Ovin, that's because Rishon, each piece that falls off is never going to be connected to the busser again. You can't call that cholim vis-a-vis shomer or yad. It's never going to be connected to the busser. It's isonipal. It's not permanently detached. It would be the same thing as having cut through something completely over there. Rish Lakish is saying it's cholim. It's no longer a piece, part of it.
Because you're making for satya?
No, because it's no longer ever going to be part of the animal. It has nothing to do whether it's cholim to the skin. It has to do whether it's going to be kedei achiza. Motiv Rabbi Yosef or Shalat Savar, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Eino Chibur. Why wouldn't it be a Chibur? It's Cholim V'Koy. I mean, isn't that part of right now? It's attached, right? You're saying, yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's going to become detached. I mean, according to Rish Lakish, this is the most Cholim you could possibly get, where it's still actually attached. Amalei Abai, what you want to ask him, Rish Lakish from Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri? I mean, to bring a riot in from the Chachamim. So the Chachamim say, Ema say, for the Chachamim say, it is a Chibur. Obviously, the Mishnah has nothing to do with Rish Lakish. But are you comparing the din of cholim on a cut to the din of cholim in terms of a yad in which you're going to be pulling it off? I don't understand what you mean. Here they're talking about a completely different issue, okay? They're talking about a shomer. This is now the skin is around the neck, so it's obviously a shomer on the neck. The question over here is that because the skin is so heavy, the moment that you're going to let go of it, it's going to rip itself off of the neck, right? Okay, so then, once you've already cut that much, it's not going to be able to hold up. Currently, it's a shomer because you haven't let it rip off. But that's what they're arguing about. A shomer has certainly not take me a lavka miflige. Something which, if you hadn't been holding it up, would be torn off. You're going to call that a shomer? Maybe not, because it's immediately not take. Mar sovar havi shomer zechachomim say, nonetheless, as long as it's currently attached, that's it. Umar savar lo avi shomer. That's the machloket.
Is it falling off because you've cut everything else off?
Yes, it's hanging upside down.
Because everything else is removed.
Has been pulled off. Exactly. Vechulan she'ibdan. Okay, so the first thing we say, yilach in lo yilach lo. The Mishnah makes it very clear that you had to actually do the halicha. V'otan rebichia. Ozen chamor shetalala kupato is Torah, right then and there. That's the point. If it's tal'ah, afagav de lo yilech. Lo tal'ah, yilech and lo yilech. Everything works out fine. You say the Shiras Kedei Ibud. Kama Kedei Ibud. Amr Avuna, Amr Avyanai, Arba'a Milim. And indeed, Rabbi Avohu, Omar, Resh Lakish, Legabel, Letvilah, Lenetilat Yadayim, Arba'at Milim. Omr Nachum Bar Yitzchak. First of all, Ivo Omra, not Rabbi Avu, and it wasn't three things, it was four things. Rabbi Amra, Bava Chodminayu, is our Shir Nebishav Avodah. Omr Bez Rabbi Chanin Lo Shadal Lefanav, but La'acharav? Now, we're not going to make a guy go back. Afilu Mil Echadin Okozer. Says Rabbi Chabar Yaakov, okay, but Mina, Milu Den Okozer. But Chodmi Mili does have to be Chozer. Tana Rabbanan Ligiyono, Vermi Makom Lamakom, Nechaz Labayi, Abayi Tamei. שאין לך כל לגיון ולגיון, שאין לו כמה קרקפלין, ואל תתאמה, שערי קרקפלו שרבי ישמו מונח בראש מלאכים. המפשיט בבימה ובחיה, בתורה ובתמיה, בדקה ובגסה, לשטיח כדי אחיזה, לחימת עד שיפשיט את החזה. המרגיל, that's really tough, כולו חיבור, and this is a kulo chibur letuma, both letame and letame. How about the or shalat zavar? Well, there Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says it. That already in a chibur. Chachomim omri means kulo is kulo. Even the or zavar, ad sheyav shitet kulo. Okay, what's the din beyond the kedei achiza? Kan ve'lachmai, omarav torah mufshat. Rav Asa says, well, now wait a minute. I mean, it moves up. I mean, the tevach that somach l'basar is always going to be tame. Meitvei, ha-mafshit kishira hazeh, mikan ve'elach ha-nogea b'mufshat, tohor, mashman, entire mufshat, afilu tevach ha-samach l'basar. Nah, says Rabasi, it means levad b'tafach ha-samach l'basar. Tashma, bo'or sheket neged ha-basar tamei. Oh, man, oh, man. Or sheket neged ha-basar tamei, because that's a shomer. But the tevach, which is samach l'basar, which according to Rabasi should be a yad, is tohor. Nah, says Rav Asi, the Tana is calling the Tefach Hasamach L'Basar or Shegereg Rabasar currently. Toshva, Hamafshid Beveima Ovechaya B'Torah B'Tmeya B'Daka Ovegasa L'Shatiach Kedei Achiza. And dig this, the Tefach Hasamach L'Basar Tohor, that's about as clear as you can say it. How are you going to wiggle out of this one? Watch me try, says Rav Asi. Hachamai Eskinan B'Tefach Rishon, not the Tefach Hasamach L'Basar, literally. The tefach closest of the original tefachim to the basar. Tana, kama kedei achiza tefach. Tefach, batayna tefachayim. Om Rabbaye, it means tefach kaful. And indeed, tanya nami. Okay, kama kedei achiza tefach kaful. Tana hatam. Talit shetchil balakor. Ah, kivan shenikra ruba. Shuv eno chibur. Vitor. Om Rav Nachman, Om Rav Abavu. Well, depends on circumstances. Lo shano v'talit tvilat yom, that you wanted to get tar before sunset. The migu de lo chayes olah, you already went so far as to be atbala. So b'meila, we believe that lo chayes olah v'kar lo ruba. But a talit she'in not tvilat yom, no way. Gizera dim alati l'mikra ruba. Omar Rabba, I got shtei tshuvot b'dover. First of all, shama yomru tvilat bat yuma is going to be sufficient. So if anything, it should only work if it wasn't in a mikvah. The od, according to you, how does Olat Ha'of work according to Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon? Why don't we make Igzera Dimalawati Ba'lumevan Roshnaim? Omer Rav Yosef, neither of those questions is a decent question. The Ka'am Igzera Shemi Yomer Tilat Bat Yoma should be Ola. I mean, any idiot could see Kir'ah, which is Mokhiach Aleh. The Ka'am Olat Ha'of, Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon. Ligzer? Why would the guys in the base of English Kodim's resume? Toshma, mafshit bevemo vachaya betmeo betorah betakao begasa, lishatia kede achiza, ha yeter michde achiza tor. Am I? Ligzer, duma loati lameva ela kede achiza, vekanaga betuma, vekamitarina le. Oh, you'd be right, said Ranach, when we were talking about a tuma de araita. Hokinami, our mission is talk about a tuma de rabbona, but the mic is there for a tuma de rabbona. What do you mean, Tumad Rabbanan? Tenach Tamei, you can say that that's a Tumad Rabbanan. But Tumaya is a Tumad Yoraita. Nah, it doesn't mean Tumaya. It means a Trefa. Trefa. So there's no Tumad at all. But Tumayahi, Tumayahi, in Kidevodishmo, Devodishmo, Trefa Shachat Tumaya in Mukdashim. Tashma Rebbe Disturb and Yunabishim Rebbe Shimon Avraham Avshit Bishrat Sim is a Chibor Achi Avshit Et Kulo. Okay, but let's say it would be a Gamal. Eno Chibor. Why not? According to you, it's the Nevela. So we should have to be Gezer. No, Teba Begamal Eno Chibor. Eleima Ba'or Shalat Tzavar Eno Chibor. It's contrasting the Tzavar of a Sheretz with the Tzavar of a Mammal, and it's going to leave it to Be'ochim Ben-Nurim. Omer when Mishum Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yosi Lo Shana Lo Shierba in this Talit Kedei Ma'aforet. But if Shierba Kedei Ma'aforet Chibur Omer Shlokish Lo Shana Lo Talit. But or that's so tough you can make a nice sewing cholim in it. Eitve Rabbi Yochel Shlokish or Tomei Midras Chishav Lo Ritzuas Sandalim Kivan Shnataba Izmel Tohor the Rabbi Yudav Chachomim Omerim. Okay, but certainly Gimamit le bechamisha. There for sure, everybody agrees that it's Torah, right? Am I? According to you, we should say it's Cholim. Nah, I mean, keep coming to Cholim. Echad a katsari le la'adei. Och, my skin in the katsay or balo derech svivotav. And what about the Mishnah? Motim revirmiya. Kam afshit bevei mao v'chayah v'torah v'tameh v'derkah v'kasa l'shatiach k'dei achiza. But yet the b'chdei achiza is tohar. Why would it be tohar? I mean, it's connected. It's the ultimate cholim. You say cholim is important. Tirgamah Rebbe Yavin. That's because in terms of the basar, it's not cholim. And Risha osa nipolim will never be attached again. Motiv Rav Yosef, or Sha'ala Tzavar, Rav Yochel Ben-Nuri Yomer Eino Chibur, why not Eima Cholim V'Koi? I mean, you don't even have to talk about the future, it's attached right now. Amale Abaye, yeah, and you want to ask Rav Yochel Ben-Nuri, why did bring Raif to Chachomim Omer Chibur? Because obviously this has nothing to do with anything. El Amar Abaye, the Machlokes, Rav Yochel Ben-Nuri, and the Chachomim, you think, has something to do with the Machlokas, Rish Lakas, Rabbi Yochanan. The Machlokas over here is B'Shomer HaSul, and I take my love kamiflege. Mar Sover Havi Shomer, and Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri, I'll say, it's Eino Chibur, because it's Havi Shomer.
That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
So, Shabbat Josh has come in. We can recalibrate.
Look, the
High
Commissioner.
Did we get the Commissioner yesterday?
We got to the mission yesterday.
We got to two dots before the mission.
However, there were a couple of vignettes that were left up in the air. Our president wasn't here, so I thought this is the one that was asking.
Why the ideas aren't listed?
Yeah, why don't we? We'll wait till he comes. Meanwhile, we'll take yours up the hill of the mission. You want to do it?
Ready?
Ready.
Look, the Highly Commissioner.
Ha-mapshit b'veimo v'chaya, v'torah v'tmeh, v'dakao v'gasa. Somebody who is skinning an animal, whether it's a behem or a chaya, whether it's an animal that's tohar, or an animal that's tmeh. Now, if the animal is tahera, then the question that we would have to deal with over here is the shayla of having removed the skin, can that skin act as a yad or as a shayma, we'll see from a focus rashi and taisus, to be machnis tumah to the meat of the behemoth that he's being mafshid. If we're talking about a behemoth tumeya, then of course the question is, can it act to be most tumah from the behemoth tumeya, which is now in the vela, undoubtedly, although we'll see that that's, even that isn't clear, to the person who is holding the skin. So the shayla is, until now we've been talking about from the beginning, Mishdor Varetev, that are the Mitzdarev, if they're a Shemer, or at least the Machitz and Meitz is a Yad, where it's connected to the skin. But over here, we're pulling off the skin. So how much of the skin that we pull off is still considered to be Mechuber, to be able to be Machitz and Meitz Tuma? And whether we're talking about a Behemadak or a Behemagasa, there are three modes in which we can do a skinning. Standard skinning would be the shatiyah. Shatiyah means for something that shokeyah, so something spread out, flat.
we put over something else, like a tablecloth or a floor, we use it today as the word, or a couch. So if it's the shatiach, the way that it's done is that we cut through the skin and then we pull it off so that it lies flat. Over there, the shear is, it's easy to pull off the skin once it's split. So the shear would be kidei achizan. I think Gemara's going to question, what is that shear? But kidei achizan, the amount that you need to hold on to that skin, it's considered to be a chibur. And Rashi learns it's batame because of yad, or mit tame because of yad. Tosfos learns it's a question still of shema. Notice how close up to the basar is it, and it would still be mitame as a shema. According to Rashi, that's a little bit strange. Tosfos tries to explain the pshat according to Rashi. What's about kamina? Yad for what? You know, we're pulling it off, and maybe yad for the or. The or isn't tame. So what kind of yad? When we talk, why would today Caesar the Gabi, how much you need to hold on to in order to pull off the rest of the skin? What would that have to do with a yad for the Moser B'chlal? Tosfos says maybe according to Rashi, the pshat is that this much is sufficient to hold on to the animal to be able to pull it if you want to move it to another place. And the nafkamina is that the Mishnah is going to make about what point you've already reached in the hepshit would be explained, this as Tosfos according to Rashi, as if you haven't reached that point yet, so it's still very difficult to complete the hepshit, so maybe it's going to take a while, so maybe you will want to move the animal, so you need a yad mashinka once it's reached the stage that the Mishnah discusses later, you've already reached the chazer, and so then already you're going to finish it up, why would you leave it there? You wouldn't pull. It's very, very not clear, according to Rashi, why exactly we should use Parsha Chiza, which is the necessary yad for the Basar, should have to do specifically with the Hefshet. So according to Tosfos, we're partially talking about how much is still Shemer, even though normally we say it has to be Keneged, the Shemer, or only that part of the Shemer, which is Keneged HaBasar. So he's saying that over years since Lamaita, it's a flat. And you need to pull on it, otherwise it falls back on. It's still considered to be a shamer, basically. That's how Tosfos learns that he brings also a gear from Rabbi Yankov and Yaakov Mion means that it's a septa that seems to make it clear that we're talking over here about shamer and not yad. I just want to interrupt here because we've been waiting for our president, who, as presidents usually do, they arrive after the rest of the college there. And to go over yesterday, your question, Oriel's approach was quite right, and I was really insufficiently holding in this. The or on the ear is not really the issue over here. The or on the ear would be the issue only Lagabi being a shamer on the buster that's in the ear, as Oriel was saying. But we were asking from the ear, because we have a mevatel now the buster by being patching with the ear of the chamor, so in the same way that that's mevatel the boser, to give it a teras or that's not mekabel truma, so it should exactly be the same thing with or that has a teras boser, to give it a teras or, an or which isn't the boser. But in a finami, an ear by itself, if it didn't have, if it wasn't a shamer on boser inside the ear, in a finami would not be, it's not that it's soft skin, there's enough meat there in order to. As far as the other questions were concerned, Lagabe, I looked around. I didn't see anybody making an afkamina in time, and it seems pretty clear from the sugya. Otherwise, the sugya would have to make an afkamina. Lagabe, are you riding on a horse? Are you riding on a chamor? The point over here is taking you out of your path. This is not where I'm going, and I don't want to go in that direction. I don't want to go in that direction. We're not much riyachu for these inyanim. As far as Rav Moshe's diet from the sugya, I mean, the lashon of the Mishnah Berurah is that kam tochacha to migula, the people who are in a town and they're within a meal of a shul, they don't go to shul for a minyan, because over here it says even if you're on the road, you wanted a place to stay, you're supposed to go ahead, which was Rav Moshe's diet, that this is supposed to be it's a raya that it's a chi of gomor, rather than simply a hidur to daven with a minyan. But again, Lamaisa, it's very much nogea in the Shemus of the Rishonim situations. As we find often in the Gemara, somebody wasn't feeling well, so, it was kosher, I didn't go, it weren't much riach on him. or Abaya didn't go to meeting because he was in the middle of teaching, or there's a Chavis HaRosh that talks about a Talmud Chacham, if he goes to Meir, he's going to be Masik in learning, he would rather stay up later than that. It's very unclear precisely what and where the Chiyav is taking. For instance, is the Chiyav of Davening Kriya Shema as B'Shas HaNeis. The Paschal is more important than the Tzvila B'Tzibur. You know, so if you don't have a minyan at that time, so it would be Kedai to Daven alone. And so on and so forth. The extent of the Chiyav, or whether over here it's talking about where there is a clear Chiyav, that this is the thing which is, this is the Shira which you're to take. Is that saying that under all, any and all circumstances there would be that? Okay, that already is very, very much the subject of a lot of different approaches in Shabbos or Shuvahs. So I think those were the three issues that we needed to clarify in this sugya yesterday. Anyway, getting back now to the mission. So, again, we're talking now about hapshata, which is skinning, and we're talking about using that skin, which has been skinned, as a yad, according to Rashi, or as a shomer, according to Tosfos, to bring tuma from a behema that is tameya, or to be machnis tuma to a behema that is tahira, if the guy now is doing the hepshet is tamei. And the shear is kedei achiza. That's if you're doing a normal skinning, which is called the shatiach, where the skin is sliced through and it's pulled off in both directions to create a flat surface. Shatuach, as we say in modern Hebrew. It's based on this word, or something which is shatuach, which is flat, is because it's roidly shatiach, spread out over something else. Lachemad. If, however, you are doing the hefshet in order to create a chemat. In other words, you want to have a holding container so that you don't want to slice through the skin. Basically, you want to keep the skin whole with an opening on one end. So then what you would do is you would pull down from the neck and sort of pull the skin off. And there, it's much more difficult. And so, it's considered to be a chibur so long as you haven't pulled off the area of the chazeh, because it's very difficult to pull, and you could still, again, as the way Rashi is understanding it, Tosfos understands it to mean that you may run out of kayak and not do the chazeh, in which case you would have to pull the meat maybe somewhere else, instead of leaving it where it is, and therefore could serve as a yad, because after all, it's not, you can grab it, it's not going to pull off, and you can drag the whole behemoth with whatever or you pulled, because you still haven't pulled off the chazeh, and it's so difficult. Okay, according to Tosfos, the question obviously is, it's so well in the chubar, so it has a tendency to flat back, and therefore it's considered to be a shamer. Hamargil. Now, there's also times at which you, in order to even further preserve the integrity of the skin, you will take it off in the other direction, take it off from the regel. And over there, it's kulo chibur. It's considered to be a chibur. The entire skin is considered to be a chibur. It's very difficult to pull off. We'll see that that may not include the neck, depending on how we learn now the next piece. So all of the skin there would be, and now these words go on all of the lashonos of chibur we've had, letuma, whether it's litamei, that means that it will be makabel tuma from the person, in the case of the tahira, for the person who's doing the hefshet, or litamei, or to be metamei, an individual who is tahor, in the case where the animal is tamei, and now he is going to become tamei through touching the yad, according to Rashi, or shomer, according to Tosfos, of a nevela. At least this is what we think it means. When it comes to the Or Sha'al HaTzavar, the Or Sha'al HaTzavar is loose. It's not really connected. So it would fall, once it's already loosened up to that point, it would fall off anyway. So over there, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, even if it's on the neck, it's not a chibur, because we don't view that as being firmly connected. So long as the skin is attached, even with the skin in the neck, but somewhere that's going on this last case of Hamargil, although we know it's not mush, but away from the sugya, a lot of Bachronim ask on that chat, But then it would be achi apshitit kulo, just as we said in the case of our margil, zechibur achi apshitit kulo, it means to include achilu the orshal gabe hatsavar. Says the Gemara, okay, fine, you're saying that kidei achisa. What is the situation after kidei achisa? Mikan ve'elach mayim. In other words, are we saying that once you have a kidei achisa, so then that's it, there's no more tuma at all in the skin, or do we say that the area that is up close to the basar, let's say I have 5 feet of skin, I have 4, but there's still a kidei achisa up next to the basar. I mean, does it keep moving so that that area is still considered to be kidei achisa? Or is it that it's no longer mechubar properly, and therefore it's considered to be a yad at all? So how do we look at it? Well, marav tohor hamukshat. Rav says any part of the skin that has been pulled off all the way up until such point as it's connected to the basar is tohor. And then there's no kidei achisa any longer because it's no longer mechubar properly to serve as a yad for the basar that's left. Whereas Rav Asi Omar, tefach hasamuch lebasar tameh. Not true. Even after you've pulled it off, the area, that stomach, keeps moving, that serves as a yad or a shrimen, keeps moving up as the closest piece of skin to the actual basar. But over here, being as you already have been mashed, you don't need a big piece of aura to hold on to. So that tefach, which is next to the basar, will also serve as a yad or a shrimen. Mesa. Hamapshit kishiur hazeh. Mikan ve'elach, once you've been mafshit ishur, or whatever kidei achisa is, which we'll see, then from that point on, hanogea b'mufshat tohor, if you touch the part of the skin that has been pulled off, there's no problem. I mean, that's certainly mashma my lad, afilu b'tefach asamuch l'basar, and it says b'mufshat, mashma any of the mufshat. That's exactly what Rav said. Tohor ha'mufshat in its entirety. So lechera it's a kasha on Rav Asi. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. He learns that what it means hamufshat. It means hamufshat that no longer has any purposes. But certainly levad mitavachatzimuch lebasar. It's not a reference to the part that you're holding on to next to the basar. Really not. And what do we do with this? Brisa tashma boor she keneged abasar tameh. So here it says if you touch the skin which is still up against the basar, it's tamei. Mashma, habetefach asamach lebasar tohor. But that's the only part that's tamei. By the way, this is also one of the indications that Tosis' approach is correct. Because over here, it's clearly talking about shema. What are we comparing the two issues? So, mashma, that the tefach asamach lebasar would be tohor completely. Tana, and the answer Rabbi Yossi would say is that the Tana calls the tefach samach lebasar also arsha keneged habasar korigle, which is really tough according to Rashi, right? Because I mean, if what you're saying is that it's also called arsha samach lebasar legabe yad, so then the Brisa is using a general term to include being matame mitame for two totally different reasons, and it's using the wrong word for a yad because a yad is never important to us whether it's keneged habasar or not. It's only a shame that it's important when it's connected.
Does that mean it's still connected?
Yeah, of course it's still connected. In other words, you're pulling the skin off. And that part that
like you can, left.
No, you can have 10 feet left. But the piece of skin, which is closest to the basar, even though the skin hanging off on the other side, the piece that's closest to the basar is still considered to be, according to Rashi, a yad. I'm pointing out that over here, the sugya is strongly marginal like Tysus. I mean, it's almost inexcusable to try to say, well, Orsha Samach Lebasar includes also the tefach, because after all, it's also Samach Lebasar, for a totally different reason. I mean, it's Samach Lebasar, and therefore you might use it as a yad. I use the same word to refer to it. Very, very difficult, according to Rashi. Toshma, ha-mapshit bivemau chaya. How about our mission? Hamachik is a mavachaya b'teorah u'b'tmeyah b'dakah u'b'gatzah l'shatiach k'dei achisa. Now, in the Brice it adds, the fairish, the tefach asamach lebasar tahor. There's nothing to discuss anymore. It says the fairish that the entire thing is tahor, even the tefach asamach lebasar. Answers the Gemara Achmayaskina. The tefach rishon, we're talking about over here,
in the first tefachim that have been pulled off. So over there, until you have a piece of skin that's hanging, and it's easy now to fold it over and to pull, you don't have a tefach of the basar. That first little bit after you have the original tefachim, nobody is going to now grab on. Well, you don't have quite enough to bend over and to pull. So what they'll do is they'll use the knife for this section to separate the skin from the basar. And then they'll grab on when they have enough to fold it over. So that first piece that comes off, enoch inami. Once it's past the first fachayim, you have no choice but to hold it on. You're not going to hold it until you get a big enough flap of skin that now the whole thing sort of pulls. You have enough skin to give it weight and to easily fold it over. So there, it's true, says Rabbi Yossi, that there is a point at the beginning of the hefshet where even the tefach ha-sabak l'basar is going to be tahor. And that's what the Tanna is referring to in clarifying the Mishnah. If you only have the day after Yisrael, the whole thing is tahor after the tefach ha-sabak l'basar, which I agree to. Tanna. Tanna k'day ha-tisa. What is the shear of k'day ha-tisa? Tefach. Tefach. Well, Tanya Tvachayim is a bright that says two tefachim. Omer Abaye Tefach Kaful. It means a tefach that's bent over, essentially, which is a double tefach. In other words, I'm holding the skin. I can't hold it like from only one surface. I have to bend it over in order to grab the piece of it that's closest to the basar. So I need a tefach to hold. But Mamela, I'm holding the tefach directly beneath it. So a tefach would then extend in both directions, on top and on bottom. So I end up with a tefach kaful in a practical sense. Tanin amihachi. Indeed, there's a price that actually uses that lotion. Kama kidei achiza tefach kaful. And the price says beferish, that it's a double tefach. Tzlan hosam. Now when it comes to the Mishnah Talin legabe, the bitl of tuma, when you runically, so if you have a beged, you can ruin the beged by tearing most of the beged. So there it says, Lagabi et talit, sheet filba likorha. You started tearing now a talis. Kivan shenikra ruba, shuveno fibur utahor. Now the Mishnah is mashma, that once you have robe, it's like regular kli, once robe of it is broken, it doesn't serve its function. So now it would be tahor. We'll see that Mamaisa, if it still serves a function, and as a shear talk later on, we're going to clarify some of this. But let's assume right now it no longer serves its function as a talis. So it's no longer considered to be a chibur, whatever tomb it had on it is now bato. It's a broken kli. Now, Rav Nachman said on that Mishnah, lo shanu ela betalit tfulat yom. Where did the Mishnah say that? It was referring Dafka to a case where you were teva with talis, but you don't have time to wait until Arif Shana. You see that you must use this now, and so Memela, you go to be mavato the tumah that's left on it by tearing it. And it's kedai for you to tear, even though it's only a few hours left till Arif Shana, because you need it immediately. The reason that the Mishnah over there allows you to say that where it's nikra rubai, it's considered to be a tahor, is because the nikud lo chasele v'atzbala lo chayesele v'karala ruba. Because you went ahead now and dipped this talus into water, and it's not a good idea to dip a talus into water. I mean, once you do that, it's never the same, as anybody who tried washing a talus knows. And so okay, but look, the guy obviously wanted to be tahor. He wasn't chas on it to send it to a dry cleaner and pretend he had tabled it. So, in the Mela, if he tears it, so we understand that he's not going to be chasen, and he'll do the job correctly, they'll tell Ruba, he'll be mavadra. Avotalitche einat tfulat yom. Guy wants to get away without doing a tefillah. So he figures, okay, instead of ruining the talis, I'll tear it a little bit, you know, we can still fix it up and so on. So over there, we wouldn't allow this. Because since he's clearly trying to avoid hurting the talis, he's going to be a little too medayic on what the shear of rov is, and he won't tear rov, and the Mishnah wouldn't have allowed it. Now, it's not directly Nogera Asugya, of course, but we're going to see that because of the kashas that we're asking, it ends up having to do with our Asugya.
Now, Rav is very much not like Reb Nachman's pshat, because he said, I have state shuvot with about this. Two responses to what you just said. First of all, I think to say that the Mishnah is talking about Daka Talis Tfilas Yom is absurd. Because if that's the case, there's more of a reason for us to prohibit it than to be bothered. For the very simple reason that if a guy didn't have a Tfilah on the Talis, nobody's going to make a mistake thinking that, you see, you can use a Talis as soon as you're tired of it. You don't have to wait till Erev Shabbos. But if you're telling me that the case over here is Daka, where the guy had been tabled his talus is still wet, basically. So he doesn't have time to wait till the evening. So people are going to say, he's using the talus. Apparently there's no dinner. It's the last yom on a kli. You know, once you put the talus in the mikvah, it's no problem, and you can allow it to touch truma, and so on and so forth. And out of that will come problems. If anything, it makes more sense to be gazer not to do this in the case where it was tabled, not to do a Daka where it's tabled. So therefore, I would say, Chodam, my first objection is, that Shema Yomru Tfilah Bat Yomahola seems to me that you make it worse because you're making people think that you could use a talis. So people are thinking, well, I mean, if it's because he was tearing it, then why was it put in the mikvah? I mean, the whole situation looks very strange. So Mamela, they'll say that it must be it's kosher to use a talis that you were table in the day. The Ode, and I have a raya also that you're wrong. Because this concern that you have, that where a person is trying to avoid hurting something by going all the way, he may not do rove, where it's just rove, half of the way plus a little bit, I can prove to you is not true. Because the din of Eilas HaOk, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon's shita, remember, is that you have to do rove shnayim in the malik of an oak. But he learns out that you're not allowed to do kol shnayim because you learn out from chakas ha'ov, according to him, that the lo yavdil. You can't break it completely into two. And what's interesting is that Tosis learns this figure. What's interesting is that he holds that you should only do mamish rove. And he doesn't say, do a clear-cut rove that's near lay nine. Do mamish rove. Now, I don't understand that. Because over there, you're not allowed to tear the whole thing, right? So you've been careful not to tear the whole thing. It's very similar to the case of the talus over here. You don't want to tear the talus. You're tearing as little as possible. Now, you're telling me that, well, in a case where a guy only wants to tear as little as possible, we're afraid he won't tear as much as he needs to tear. So then I understand. And why don't we say exactly the same thing by another soul? Rabbi Ezra Tripper should say, look, since the guy doesn't want to be mafia, let's at least make absolutely certain that he did rove. And he should do a rove on Yer Leinayim. But no, Zamak, let him do exactly a rove. Well, why don't we mock the baby? He won't tear the whole thing. So you see that we don't have such a concept. The guy's going to do rove, he's going to do rove. So Ligs of Dimalos, if a method rove shnayim, we should be guys recording for Rebel Ezra Shimon, and maybe he won't even do rove shnayim either. We don't have such a gazer. So Rabbi Yosef said, no, those responses are not so terrible. First of all, the comment Gzera Shem and Yomer Tvila's Bas Yuma, okay, I don't think it's much of a Gzera that people are going to think that because it still was put into the mikvah today, therefore we can use it today. I mean, everybody's going to see it's a ripped talus. They're going to think that it's a white and a ripped talus. People aren't stupid. So they understand that apparently he ran out of time. He needed the tear to be on. I don't see that as a problem. Kira'a mochiach aleha. People will see the tear and they'll understand that this talus is being used because it's torn. And as far as your other question is concerned, Tikam it's Olata Obsor Velazmer Vishiman Ligzar. We never make a Gzer on Kohanim. Kohanim's reason being you're doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Kohanim is aware of the fact that he has to do Rove. What kind of comparison? Of course he'll do the Rove. We're making Gzer, maybe a Kohen won't come to do a Rove. We're making a Gzer in the Beis HaMikdash like that. So, you know, over here, the person trying to avoid doing damage to his towel, it's a very reasonable thing to say. That he may be a little bit zagir on the wrong side. Now, the question is, and this is why we brought in the zagir from our Mishnah, Tashma, Amapshit bideimau b'chaya, itmeyav etora, bidakau begatsa, l'shatiyah kideyachiza. Now, very clearly, yetemich deyachiza is tahor, right? I mean, that's what it's saying. Once you've gone beyond Achiza, then you don't have to worry about this skin being Matnis or Motsi Truma.
Am I?
Ligzor Dilma Lo Asi Undavat Elikade Achiza. Vika Noga Betuma Vika Metahari Anway. Look, here's a guy. He's touching an Avela. I mean, so, he's touching an Avela. You're telling me that when it came to the question of the Chomer of Tuma, where a guy is trying to take off Tuma from his palace, it shouldn't be Matame Truma. That we're worried, according to you, Rav Nachman, we're worried he's not going to tear as much as he has to tear. So I understand. So over here we're dealing with a similar issue. A guy may be end up being Matame Truma or something, and you're telling me, we're giving you a shear of Kedei Achiza, and if it's 1 centimeter more, it's not a problem. But why aren't we mocked that he won't do Mamish Kedei Achiza? So apparently, time is rather to Rav Nachman. We don't have such a concern. A shear is a shear. I mean, either he does tear rope or he doesn't tear rope. Just like over here, either he does do Kedei Achiza or he doesn't do Kedei Achiza. We don't make Yzeiris do a little bit more, because otherwise we're afraid he wouldn't do enough. We need some kind of clear-cut reason to make sure that you did enough. Circumstances to make sure you did enough. Whoever has such a thing? He says, no, that's not true. Time is remarkable. In the case where you would be dealing with a tumma d'oraisa, so said the case by the talus. Kalim or makabel tumma d'oraisa. That talus now touches something as a...
Just getting ready for tonight.
So am I. So it's interesting. Abe was here from England yesterday. He came at the end. So we were talking about Shrewish. He said, yeah, it was Wednesday Shrewish. Such an exciting evening, you know, the interaction with Richie trying to keep him up. So it definitely makes an impression. So in any event, we, Tainas of Nachman, look, the case in the Mishnah may not be similar case in the Talis. The Talis is a problem with the Urizen. It's going to touch Truman now, it's going to be the time of the Truman Urizen, possibly Truman Urizen. It's going to be over on the Shmer Truba time. I think case in the Mishnah is Dafka Drabonim, which seems outrageous, because the case in the Mishnah was, of course, that's going to be our next question. But let's take a look inside. The Ibitum of the Araisa, Tainas or Nachman, you'd be right. If we were really concerned over here with the Tum of the Araisa, Hachinami. But Hachlamai is Kinam of Tum of the Rabbonim. We're talking over here that the guy who's doing the Hapshit, he's only Tumi Mid Rabbonim. Let's see, his Bol Rosh of Arubo, B'mayim Shuvim, something. You know, one of the Yudches Bonim. Not things that are mamish tame d'oraisa. So, okay, so the shear that's been given in our mishnah is only for those things. Oh, no, wait a minute. I mean, tainach tame b'tahara. You could say that about a man who's tame, who's doing the hefshet on meat that's tahara. Fine, you could say he's only tame d'oraisa. The mishnah talks about a case where a man who's tahara is doing hefshet on an animal that's tame. If he's doing a hefshet on an animal that's tame, then it's an avela. It's obviously dead. So how do you get a tumah d'rabbanan on a veil? I don't understand what you're saying. So how about the case of tahor b'tameya? That's certainly tumah d'oraisa. Actually, says Rav Nachman, no. Although it says veim b'tameya, what it really means is a treif. So let's talk about a treif for shchuta. Treif? A treif isn't tameya at all. I understand. So what's the concern of a treif? Treif b'tameya. In Kedei Avodah Shmuel, we had this before, just like Avodah Shmuel says that, yes, there's a special din d'rabbanan on a behema treifa l'gabi kotshi. The Omer Avodah Shmuel treifa sheshachata mitam'a b'mukdashim. So l'gabi, that chumra, the Mishnah is saying that Kedei Achiza, once it's Kedei Achiza, no longer serves to be mitame, the person who's doing the hefshet. But in Okinami, according to Rav Nachman, we have to change the understanding in our Mishnah. Just like Nachman changes the understanding of the Mishnah in Kalim to be referring specifically to a case where you had been matfil this talis already, so there shouldn't be a chashash. Maybe you didn't do the right shear. He'll have to explain our Mishnah in Chulin
It's talking about dafka cases where the tumah is only drabbanan, both in terms of the person being the tami, the bosses only to the drabbanan, and both of the bosses being the tami, the person, and change the meaning of the Mishnah from tumeya to tereva. Because otherwise it doesn't make sense that we should be given a shear that's exact of kdei achiza, where you have to be kreitish. Maybe it was a little bit less, and then it was in the time of the guest. Yes, our president.
If the shita wasn't 100%, became tough, and
the shita became traitor, or became the male?
If you shattered it,
depends what happened.
That's called the veil.
A shkita psula is an aveva. A shkita of a trefa is
tahira. Trefa was died in the field. No, that's not the aveva. If an animal killed it.
Trefas, we had the whole pair of Kayla trefas. You want to go through all 72 of them? We can do that. Just tell me Chef Schmeitz over my heart.
If it doesn't become
no. If it's tahor, first it touches an animal trefa that was shchuta. Yeah. Was shchuta after it became a trefa. Shchita is mitahara the trefa. But Avodah Shmuel says when it comes to kachim, a trefa is mitahara the rabbanim. And that's the case our Mishnah is talking about. You shechta the trefa, which midiraisa is tahor completely, but for mukdashim is mitahara the rabbanim. Toshma, Rabbi Dustoy ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hamapshit Bishratzim Chibur, Achi Apshit Kulo. So now, when you have small animals, so you have, let's say, a hedgehog, and you're doing now the hefshet on a small animal, it's very difficult to pull the skin off. Polecats, skinning, difficult thing. So over there, it's considered to be a chibur until you get the entire skin off, for the same reason that the margil, which is difficult to skin like, is considered to be a chibur until you get off the whole skin. Okay. But notice that what we're talking about over here is a case of shrubs, where you have mamish, a tumah d'oraisa. But let's say, in a similar case where you have a tumah d'oraisa, let's say a camel. So, habigamal. In all chibur. In other words, if we're looking for a case over here where you could deal with an emes of tumah d'oraisa, you can't start talking about a trefa. Sheretz is a trefa, obviously. Right? So you're finding a case where no matter how much skin, it's going to be matami. So the only case you could find was where the animal was a mouse, let's say. And what about if it's a camel? So it's the same thing as the case in our Mishnah. That is the case of the Mishnah. Remember, he's trying to pretend that the case of the Mishnah, the Behemoth Tameh is not a camel, of course. The Behemoth Tameh is a trefa. Why? Because it would be a camel. We couldn't let you get away with Kedei Achiza. Since it's a tumah d'oraisa, we'd have to be gezer. Maybe you won't really make it Kedei Achiza. So then I don't understand. If that's true, what do we have to look for a sheretz? Because the sheretz is difficult to pull the skin off. Even if it would be a camel, it wouldn't be difficult to pull the skin off. The way the Nachman is learning, it would be matame anyway. Because we wouldn't allow you to go get away with the shear of kdei achiza. So you see from here that in a case of gomel, as long as it's more than kdei achiza, it's not considered to be a chibur. So how did the Nachman come along and say, no, the Mishnah's doctor talking about a case of a trefa, not of a camel? And here you see, even a camel, we would say, is kdei achiza is no longer the tami. Now that's a tumah d'oraisa if ever there was one. So that seems to be absolute proof that the objection to Reb Nachman stands. And we don't make these errors like that. Maybe you won't pull off enough skin. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. You know, lo temah b'gamal eino chibur. The diak over here is not that b'gamal it's not a chibur, but b'da sheretz it is. The point over here is that we're not trying to contrast sheretz to gomel. What we're trying to do is contrast the skin of a sheretz in a way that we don't have a comparative case in a large animal, namely the orsh ala tzavar. Now the orsh ala tzavar in a large animal is loose. And therefore, what we're saying is that in the case of a large animal like a gamal, so over there, once it hits the tzavar, it's not a chibur. That's all he's saying. Mashenka, by the small animal, even the tzavar is a chibur. But in other words, I, Reb Nachman, if I hold like the sheet of Reb Yochanan ben Nuri in the Mishnah, who holds that the or sh'al tzavar is not a chibur. So therefore, all I'm saying is, to be medayik over here, is that, look, if it's something, it's the cloud, it's not even firmly attached. Over there, I understand, once you've done the hefshet till that point, I mean, I'm not going to make a gezeira and say you didn't do a hefshet until that point. It's a very clear distinction. I finished the hefshet, basically. The rest of it just pulls off. So all that we're looking for over here is to express a case where even that's not enough, such as by a sheriff. Mashenken, in the case of a gamal, where you didn't get up to the Yerushal HaTzavar, I still maintain I'm 100% right, that the Mishnah would never have spoken about a case like that, because it's a Tumah D'oraisa, and we'd have to be gezer, that Kedei Achiza is insufficient. How do we know you're going to do Kedei Achiza? Maybe you'll be too careful, you'll end up becoming Tumah D'oraisa. So I would say, until you get up to the neck. Mashenken, over here it's safe. Even getting up to the neck wouldn't make an opinion on a polecat. That's all that we're saying. And what I'm trying to tell you over here is that it's going like, let's read it inside, Ela Ema Ba'or Shala Tzavar Eno Chibur Reb Yochanan Ben Nuri. Reb Yochanan Ben Nuri in our Mishnah who says that the Or Shala Tzavar is not considered to be a Chibur. So over here I'm telling you, I, Reb Nachman, I'm telling you that that's exactly what he's coming to point out. That even though normally we would have been gezer on a camel, and we would have said, I'm sorry, sir, even though you did Kedei Achiza, we don't trust you. And since we're not sure that you'll do Kedei Achiza, you have to tear the whole skin off. I don't mean the whole skin. I mean up until the tzavar. That's exactly what the point is. Because up until the tzavar is a very clear-cut limit. There's no question at that point. And once you've gotten that close, we no longer have a kashash of Kedei Achiza. Okay, but there are types of animals where you have to worry about the neck as well. That's all I'm saying. Omer Avuna Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Rabbi Yossi. Lo Shanu, we have to clarify this whole idea in that Mishnah in Kalim about tearing through a talit. Once you do robe, it's tar. That's not so simple. Once you do robe, it's tar. What about if what's left can serve its own purposes as a beggar? I mean, so why should all things be tar? You still have the kli here. So, lo shana lo shaloshir bakadei ma'aforet. This whole halacha, that it's considered to be a chaluka, and now no longer a kli, is dafka in a case where you didn't leave enough of a shear that would be the size of a handkerchief. But if you did, avashir bakadei ma'aforet, then it's still considered to be mechubar, because you have a valid kli that is still left. Omer Ish Lakish, I'll take it even a step further. The whole din of chalukah is only said on things that are made out of material, like wool, like on the talus. So Lo Shana Ala Talus, if you're talking about skin, and you're going to now cut through skin, if you have left it connected, then if you're mechaber it again, it doesn't pull apart. No, you can simply sew it back up. And it's hollow, it's strong. So where you're talking about a talus, you left a little piece of a talus, forget it. I mean, that little piece is not going to hold the whole thing together. Or it's tough. So even if you left a little piece together, it's still tough enough to be considered a chibur for the whole piece. You're going to have to cut the whole thing through. So or is considered to be cholim. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu or nami lo cholim. Or is not considered to be that strong that we consider that what was cut is unimportant, so that since it could be sewed up again, it's all considered to be still whole. I don't see that. So Eitze, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan has Rish Lakish. You who claim that skin, as long as it has some chibur left to it, is not considered to be batel from its tumah. What are you going to do with this? Or tamei midras. Is even or that is zov sacha. So now it's tamei midras. And you want to be batel that tumah. Chishev alav l'ritzuot v'sandalim. You decided to cut the skin up to use it for shoelaces or to use it as pieces to make sandalwood. So kivach natan bo izmo tahor. As soon as you put the izmo into it, you start cutting it, you're already metayer it. Because even though it's still whole, and a makshava alone is not mevachel tuma, but makshava with a maisa is mevachel tuma. So even though there's sufficient over here for shiur of midras is chamishat vachim or chamishat vachim, nonetheless, it now becomes ktoha. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The chachamim omrim, the chachamim say, no, you have to actually have cut it down. Okay, now, the shaila is, if you're memayedet, kimamidlei mia tahar. It's clear that everybody agrees that once it's less than a chamishat vachim, then it's considered to be tahar. Why is that? Why don't we say that the or itself, you're saying once you put in the ismal in it, why is it the or is strong enough and it's not considered to be torn until it's literally cut apart? Says Reish Lakish, as Amai, I ask you, Reish Lakish, says Rabbi Yochanan, Amai, lema cholim, why don't we say that or is tough? Answers Reish Lakish, you're right, or is tough. And if we were talking about a case over here where you were cutting in a straight line, then absolutely, we would never have said that having stuck the yizmal in it, that you're already going to be mevatlis. Nonsense. But the case over here is talking about. So, hecha the key comment to call him, where do we say that or is tough? Hecha the katsari le lahadze. Where you're cutting it straight across, longer straight edge. So, longer straight edge, you could always sew it back up again, it's going to be strong. What we're talking about over here, hako by askinan, the mikatseya ubalo derech sevivotav. You aren't using a straight edge. You're not cutting it. You're basically peeling away at it in a curve. You can't sew that up again. It should be strong. So over there, even I might have it or is not cholim. But I'm not going to have it. If the case was that you're literally cutting into the flaps, and you're cutting it straight across, it wouldn't help to put the yizmo into it. You'd have to actually cut it down. Most Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks a question like this. It says here that hamafshit bivema uvechaya b'tora ubetmeya b'daka ubegasa l'shatia tidei achiza. Now, clearly, yes, a mikta achiza is tor. Isn't that the point of our Mishnah? So now, if you're telling me that or is cholim, why don't we say that here too? V'amai lema cholim. Why don't we say over here that the or is considered to be cholim? It's considered to be strong. Now, obviously, this is not a very strong question. Because, I mean, we are comparing apples and oranges over here. I mean, there were times where we cut through the or. And over here we're talking about where you're pulling off skin and saying that it should be similar, that it should still serve a yad, just because the or is cholim. I mean, it's not really comparable, obviously, right? And when it's talking about the ability to sew up skin to itself, over here you're talking about that since skin is tough, therefore the skin that you pulled off of the meat should serve as a yad for the meat. I mean, it seems a little outrageous in comparison. Right? And indeed, Tos is very bothered by it. I mean, what does this have to do with it? I mean, the only thing that he says is, Tos says, Niralo l'damot. It's nearer to the Gemara to at least compare it in the sense that if you're going to tell me that torn skin is considered to be mechuber because it's cholim, you should say that or that is so tough should be considered to be mechuber because it's cholim. I mean, of course we could have answered it. We could have just said, look, I mean, what is the chibur of the or itself has to do with the chibur of the or to the baser? It's a judgment question, really. It's not a very powerful question. Tirgamar Rabavin, Rishon, Osanipum. And Rabavin Taka says, look, as your mafshit it, here it's as if it's completely cut off. Because it's never going to be connected again to the butter, which is the issue. Mashenkin, where you're talking about making a kli into two kelim, it can always be sewed up again. Moshe Rabbi Yosef,
Rav Yosef asks, from the Or Sha'alat Savar. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Omer Eino Chivus. Again, why not? We should say Hachalim. Why does Rav Yochanan ben Nuri say, according to Reish Lakish, that the Or Sha'alat Savar is not considered to be a Chivus? If Or is so tough, so we should say Hachalim the Kor? Says a bias Rav Yosef. I understand. You asked me a kasha from Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. I mean, why don't you prove that it's right from the Chachamim? The Eima Seifa, the Chachamim Omrim Chibur. The point over here has nothing to do with that issue. The question over here is we're dealing with a shomer. The aura around the neck is a shomer. But it's a shomer that's asui l'nate, all by itself. It's going to be natek me'elah. Once it's already cut to the point of the neck, it can't stay on by itself. There's no strong chibur to the neck. It has nothing to do with the issue of or being chalim. The machlokus over here is b'shomer ha'asrim and ha'tek me'elav kam b'fudeh. The chachamim hold marsav ha'avi shomer as long as it was not mitnatzeh. L'mais it protects the basa. U'marsav ha'avi shomer, the other man the armor says, look, since it would simply fall off the moment that you lift it up, you can't call that very much of a shomer, but it's not negayah of whether or is calling to itself. Okay, gentlemen, we shall continue Bezrat Hashem tonight. We'll do our tomorrow, as we usually do, Leil Shavuos at 11:30. Is that good? In order of fighting. Okay.
Thank you.